Welcome to the Washington Page. I'm Sally Hart, on the one to count on for today's news and local information, KCII. On today's program, I'm speaking with local historian Michael Zaz, who's the subject of Saving Brenton, a documentary that premiered in Washington, D.C. just a few weeks ago. This is part two of a two-part interview. After one of the showings, you had a chance to relax and get some dinner, and you had a small world moment.
We were, after the second screening, we were kind of relieved and such, and we went to a restaurant that was recommended, and we were eating outside. And Washington, D.C. had the same weather there as what we've been having here, but we were eating outside and just kind of relaxing. And somebody knocked on the window from inside the restaurant, and it was one of my former students that was there. So we just ran into a lot of people, and a lot of people made a big effort to be there when we were showing the film. Because it was in the local papers, people who were local students saw it and came. And it was just so much fun to see them.
And how does that feel as a teacher to see them as an adult, making the time to come see you?
Yeah, it's wonderful that they would still remember that I actually had been part of their past. But it was great. Julie and I truly enjoyed our time there. We got to meet a lot of people. The filmmakers, which are John Richard, Tom Haynes, and Andrew Sherburn, they're all from Iowa City. And this is their first film at this level, and they were being congratulated by people who had Oscars. And, you know, it was great to watch their response, because I think it was even more than what they had expected. And it was just was wonderful. We had also taken the Brenton projector to Washington, D.C., the one that we used in the extravaganza here, and we showed color films on the hand crank projector from 1905. And I said, why take this projector out there? It's not an easy task. Let's just use one from the Library of Congress or the Smithsonian or something. Well, that's why we took it out, because they don't really have them. So we were showing people things that was part of their history, too, and it was special. People would ask if they could take a picture of the projector. And I remember one young man who was just about to graduate in film from college, and he asked if he could take a picture. And I said, why don't I take a picture of you cranking the projector? Well, it was just, he could hardly get his breath, you know. We were with some fabulous film people, and the impression was far, far better than I ever expected. The Washington Times, in their article, just really was complimentary on all sides of it. The Washington Post, their critic, wasn't able to see the film while we were there, but she's going to do a review in the paper this week about it. And so I'm anxious to see.
And I think we would be missing something if we didn't talk about the music. Can you tell us what went into that?
We used music as much as we... Well, I didn't do the film, and I tried very, very much not to even suggest things in the film, but the film guys used a lot of the music that we used when we did the movies with Red Cedar Chamber Music. And Red Cedar is probably the biggest thing that caused all of this to happen. But they used music from Red Cedar Chamber Music. But one of the things that was kind of exciting, again, for an old teacher was they found some music that they wanted to use at the beginning and at the end during the credits and the title frames that they thought just kind of fit the whole topic. And they thought I would really like it. And I said, well, it doesn't make any difference, but you pick what you want. And they said they knew the composer. And I said, oh, really? And who was it? And it was one of my former students that they didn't know that. And they had picked his music. Ben Ramsey from here in Washington had composed and performed music that's part of the film, and that just made it even more special.
That's been today's Washington Page with local historian Michael Zaz talking about the documentary Saving Brenton, which features him and the Brenton films. This is part two of a three-part interview.